Hi, welcome back to the Urban Vibe podcast. My name is Adrian Gonzalez, and today I have a guest.
Vic.
And we're going to talk a little bit about my favorite movie today, which is Interstellar, directed by Christopher Nolan. And I had Vic watch it last night, and I'm wondering what her thoughts of it are.
I thought the entire movie was purposeful. It seemed like every single scene Christopher Nolan really worked out. There was like no filler, which I really appreciated, even in a 3-hour film. I feel like a lot of movies now, even though it was only like 10 years ago it was released, right?
Yeah,
it was like 2014. You get that filler part, kind of make people like kind of feel like they're more involved or that it's more relatable. This film was relatable, but none of us were astronauts. Like, very few of us are astronauts. So, I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. It was 2014. But yeah, it is relatable because you can relate to these guys' feelings of loss and exploration and, you know, of duty and Cooper wanting to chase his dream of always being a pilot. And you could see he kind of got selfish wanting to do that, but he was calling it for the greater good. But it seemed like he just wanted to fly.
Yeah, that was probably one of the more confusing parts for me, is in the beginning we see him in his original, like, I don't know what year it is. It looked more like a fighter jet to me in the beginning, and then it, like, swapped to now he's an astronaut. So that was the only thing to me that I was like, I don't know if that makes sense. But I don't know how astronauts pilot rocket ships. So maybe it looks like a fighter jet. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm not too sure either.
But those transferable skills, I guess, with like the gravity and stuff. I guess that would be apparent. Where it was like this guy was the best guy because he was able to get out of those situations in the past. With the gravity anomaly that sent him down the first time, I was trying to figure out if it was a gravity anomaly to do with him, or if it was just the black hole in the other, through the wormhole.
So, like, with, like, the dust? Is that what you're talking about, the dust in the books, or?
Well, at one point, a doctor said to him, while they were already in space, he said, you had... Or I guess he wasn't already in space. He was in the first meeting when they got caught at the Nomad Center. He said, I think you've dealt with this before, with the gravity anomalies. And he was referencing that crash in the beginning.
Oh.
So I'm trying to figure out if he made himself crash, or if it's just a widespread problem. Because he put himself there. Like, he sent himself.
He would have had to crash to get to that spot anyways.
Yeah, so that, like, I guess that's just part of the paradoxical issue with the movie, where you're like, did he send himself, or did he not send himself, and later on he found himself sending himself. Classic space stuff, though. It's classic space issues. I also found the film super weirdly educational, because I feel like a lot of humans will hear words like string theory, and you kind of just go about your day, but it kind of took the extra step of explaining it.
What was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part, weirdly enough, is probably when Cooper wakes up after getting spit out from the four-dimensional cube land, and he gets to go back to his house, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the house. He's like, I don't know about this. Because he doesn't see the dust. He doesn't have the grandpa from the beginning. His kids aren't there. And I think that was just a very human reaction. Because I think it would be jarring. Like, if we took the places we live right now and then put them on a space station near Saturn.
Yeah.
And then it's just different. It's the same, but it's different. And I think that's really... like, important to the movie. Is everything's going to be the same, but it's completely different.
I guess for those who haven't seen this movie, we can kind of do like a rundown of a summary of it. So, like, it starts off with this guy named Cooper. He has two kids, and his what is his widow wife, like his wife's dad, right?
Yes.
That's the guy that takes care of the kids. Cooper used to be a pilot, but he got in a crash, and in this world on Earth, there is, like, dust storms. So, like, you can't really grow crops. There's no good jobs. People are just, like, living off dirt. And most people have to be a farmer. That's what their education goes towards, is being a farmer. And they get, like, some weird stuff starts going on. They try to figure it out, and they find out its coordinates. And they find out it's, like, a big space station that are trying to figure out how which planet is habitable for people. And he ends up going on it, and I guess what happened after that?
He figures it out, he goes, he gets captured. Wait, he's not actually captured. Like, they bring him inside.
Yeah, like, hey, what are you doing here? How did you find this out?
He keeps trying to leave, but they keep laughing at him, because they're like, you're not going to want to leave. We know you're not going to want to leave. You've been sent here for a reason. And then I believe he goes back to talk to Murphy and stuff, and it doesn't go well. So he leaves on that bad interaction with his daughter before he flies.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes with all these assurances.
Like, he's going to be back in like 2 years, 3 years or something like that.
Yes.
It was something like that. It was a couple of years and his daughter is mad. And so he goes and they basically never tell him that, like, you're not coming back. But then...
Yeah, it
15,
takes...
Like, this is, like, a lifelong journey.
It takes 25 years for him to find out. On Earth years, I guess, because we have to be specific. Because he's only in space, I think, for, like, 2 or 3 years.
If that, honestly.
Yeah, but
the other guy... the other guy that was in there for, like 60 years.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, the Lazarus Projects were, like, 60 years prior.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so they fly up, they're figuring out... They sent other astronauts to these different planets to see what's habitable, and they have beacons going off saying it might be. They go to one, and they find out that the gravitational pull is different. So, like, every hour on there is 7 years on Earth, and they're going down there quick, and they're like, well, where's this thing at? The beacon was going off, but it was destroyed, so, like, it wasn't habitable. And then, like, the whole planet was just made of water and waves, so they get caught down there for a couple hours, and they finally go back up. And one guy stayed on their ship while they took a smaller ship down to the planet, and they came back, and he was, like, 70 years old now. He just sat there, waited by himself.
23 years, I think he said it was.
Is that what it was?
Something around there, yeah. So he was just there alone.
For 20 years.
He had said he gave up on them coming back, I believe. He was like, I didn't think anybody was coming back.
That'd be so insane. What would you do by yourself for 20 years?
Probably just go back to sleep, because he said that he, like, had woken up and given up on sleeping, and I was like, well, why? There's nothing to do here. You're running out of, like, resources at that point. It's been 23 years.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if later on in the movie, there's a point where they have to make a decision if he stays or goes because of the lack of resources. What if that guy had slept? And maybe... I know it couldn't have worked that way because of the plot in the movie, but I just felt like that was such an odd choice to make. Everybody else is sleeping.
And then so after that, he, probably one of the most powerful parts of the movie, he comes back and they realize how much time has been lost and they're all freaking out and they look at they get like messages from back on Earth. Like, they can't send any back, but they can receive them. And it's just his kids growing up without him and them being upset with him. And he's just yelling at the screen. And that was a powerful moment. And then same thing with the other girl. The main, like, professor? What is he?
Professor Brand and his daughter?
Yeah.
She was Dr. Brand.
He was the main guy who was trying to figure this equation out to get him out of there. And he's getting older. Like, he's going to die soon. And then after that, there's two other places they have to go to, right? But they only have enough fuel for one?
Yeah, they have to make the decision. Are we going to go to Edmund or Dr. Mann? And Dr. Mann was the leader of the Lazarus projects. So Cooper was like, based on these two things, they're about equal, but I'm gonna pledge my bets on Dr. Mann. Because everybody keeps talking so highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was funny, because Cooper had never met that guy. everybody else kind of knew about him. I don't think they met him, per se, because it was 6 years prior, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was, like, iconic. He was legendary.
And so they decided to go to him. And he turns out to have lied. On his beacon, he said it was all good. He said, yeah, we could live here. And he lied. He was just, he wanted someone to save him. And so once they, like, tried to send him to camp, and he realized that, like, oh, they're going to know I'm lying, he tried killing Cooper, and it didn't really work out. Well, it almost did, but they end up finding him. He steals their spaceship and tries docking on their big spaceship. I guess I don't know what to call it. And he ends up killing himself. Not doing it right. Blowing a hole in it. And so they have to dock, trying to get out of there, they have to dock on the other side and use, like, a bunch of spinning, and he had to really use his pilot skills just to get it going. And then what was after that? Is this when all the black hole stuff started happening?
Yeah, so that's when they make the decision to use the gravitational pull from the black hole to shoot themselves around, because they were like, we have one shot at this. We're out of fuel, so we need to go somewhere. We're going to have to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, they use the gravitation to ship. They're going to send the girl to the one she wanted to go to in the first place.
Yes.
Instead of Dr. Mann, Edmund. And that's the guy she was in love with. And so they rip it around, and they're like, it's not enough to get her there. So they dip one of their robots to like, add more force to it. And then McConaughey, Cooper, he dips as well to give her one last push so she can make it there. And he falls into the black hole. And that's when, like, all this crazy stuff starts happening. Like, he's in, like, he's nowhere, but he's everywhere, if that makes sense. Because, like, he's going back in time and trying to tell himself not to go. But they're taking it all as the opposite. Like, I need to go there.
Yeah, the 4D cube.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's an actual, there's, like, a term for it that a lot of people have been picking up, like Marvel movies and stuff, that they always refer back to it. And I think scientists believe that places like that actually do exist. Like in our actual reality, not in the movies. I think that's what the theories are leaning towards, which is insane.
It would be insane. It would be something that we're not capable of comprehending, though.
Not at all. That'd be crazy.
But, so he's in there. He's able to tell him all the signs, like, from earlier in the movie, like the books falling and the coordinates and all that good stuff. And then he realizes that he's like, I can communicate with him. I can't come back. But he ends up telling Murph the equation, like how to solve it and like how everything makes sense and all that stuff. So using that, they ended up, you know, making like their own little spaceship community while Edmund is still looking for the planet.
I think it was just supposed to represent, like, success, because this is part of the movie that I don't think they explained quite well, is she does end up passing away. But all those people, like, they have resources, but they're still stuck on this side of the wormhole, currently, if that makes sense. Like, until Dr. Brand actually continues to set up that planet, they're still kind of screwed.
Yeah, they gotta get there.
Which is kind of crazy, and if there was ever going to be a second movie, which there may be in 2025, because I looked it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that they're going to start filming in 2025. There's, like, some contract stuff, but Hollywood nonsense. But, yeah, it's been 10 years. I guess he's coming back.
Awesome.
I don't know what storyline that would potentially follow, though. It has to be Dr. Brand. Because he's older now.
Yeah, it had to be going after.
Because it's been 10 years. He's going to look different. Like, McConaughey himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting up there. But I don't know. I feel like that part of the movie is really strange just because there was no explanation. Where are they going to end up going? Dr. Brand's setting up the next colonization of humans, but she has no idea if it worked or not.
Because
there's no communication through the wormhole, I believe.
Yeah, she can't really say anything to him, but he can say it to her. At that point.
No, I believe that when she got in that ship, she broke off. She doesn't have communication.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She doesn't have the Starbucks, and she doesn't have the other one.
Yeah, so she's just on her own.
She just believes that everybody's dead, and she can't do anything about it. Mm. She has no idea, which is kind of wild. Like,
I mean, that'd be hard to even, like, try to survive for yourself, let alone hope potentially everyone else.
Yeah, so, like, on that side of the wormhole, she's the only thing that's protecting humanity, and that just seems like a risk, because, like, you're on this planet, you don't know what kind of threats are on this planet, what kind of environmental issues will occur. And she has started to set up these incubation areas, because mm-hmm. that's what it was. It was, like, embryos, I believe. She's gonna have to mom.
Yeah.
Like, a thousand babies by herself. That's kind of crazy.
That would be horrible.
Because she's, like, the start of a nursery.
Yeah. I'd probably not want to do that. So then he gets spit out of the black hole, and with all the information that he gave them, they ended up finding him, like, right after he spit out. Take him back to their new spot. He's confused. He sees his daughter, who's a million years old, and she's on her deathbed. And they talk to each other. They forgive each other, all that stuff. And then he goes on. He steals a spaceship to go find Brand. And that's the end of the movie.
That was wild to me that it made it seem like he was some kind of outlaw. He's the reason why the spaceship is up there. Like, I would think that...
He could just take one.
He could just take one. Like, his daughter is the one that saved the world. I would expect also her to him be, like, too. Rich, though. Like, on Earth.
Yeah.
She would be, like, rich, I would assume.
I would assume she's almost, like, the dictator. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, she was definitely like a leader at some point. So yeah. They could have got him a ship. I don't know what... That's what part of the reason why I was like, the ending was rushed, but then you're coming upon a 3-hour movie. You know, you can't stretch it any longer than that. Not with their cool intergalactic scenes. Like, they had to get those in.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I did thought it was kind of good he had to steal one, but... I think it's honorable he went after her. I think it makes sense. And hopefully they all find their little lives. So, yeah, you said your favorite part was, sorry, I'm going to brain dead.
That's all right. It was when he went back and...
Oh, yeah, he saw his house.
His house. He was like, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I totally get that part. I also think that there's a couple key parts in it that I personally would have made a different decision. And the biggest one to me is, why did they choose Miller's planet in the beginning? Because if they wouldn't have made that decision... the rest of the movie would have went completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep going back to everybody being like, the black hole is right next to the planet. Why would you inhabit a planet? Like, if you're like, we need a planet to survive, mm-hmm. and you're going to choose the one closest to the black hole to try first?
Yeah, that should have been on the way back.
If anything, you know? Yeah. And then you find out that, at least by what they're discussing, which I don't know if is true or not, because... after they lose one of their astronauts, everybody's kind of, like, emotionally high. And when you're emotionally high, you, like, say stuff you don't actually believe or mean. But she said, we probably missed saving Miller by minutes. I get time is, like, relative in this entire film, but just...
Minutes on their planet. It would have been months on yours, if that.
That's what I was saying. I was like, that's so weird, because between the two waves, there was only, like, a 3-minute... interval, like, on that planet. They're mm-hmm. on that planet, so they see how quick it was. So I think that lady was probably dead for, like, weeks. Yeah. You know, because they said she died as soon as she got here. Why are you making all these assumptions? Like, the mm-hmm. sensor was going out and everything.
Once they saw, like, everything all messed up and they realized how long, you know, how time works, they should have dipped immediately.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, dude, she didn't.
Why'd they get
make
out?
It. She didn't. She hardly made it because... It's been so long, blah, blah, blah. I'm gone. I'll see you later.
And even if she was alive, she would have been in one of those contained sleep pods.
Mm-hmm.
So if they really were trying to do their mission, I feel like humanity got in front of them. They were like, we need to find her, get her data. Like, yeah. She said, I thought I was doing the right thing. That's not what the mission was. The mission was to find an inhabitable planet. When you landed, you saw that you were surrounded by water. Humans can't live in water. We die in water.
Yeah.
And where there comes water and high gravitational pull, you get big waves. Like, these are supposed to be the smartest of the smartest people. I just felt that was really, it was kind of funny that they forgot that the moon makes waves on Earth and a black hole will make waves on a planet.
Way bigger.
On the edge of the black hole. It was a beautiful scene, though. It was beautiful.
What about on the choice, the Dr. Mann or Edmund's choice, what would you have gone?
I don't know. Because I get where Cooper was coming from, where he was like, this is the guy, and he's saying, let's go. And I believe he did kind of get mad at
her.
And
she was being biased.
And she was being biased, and he did have to weigh that in. But Dr. Mann's planet was still closer to the black hole. So we go back to what I was saying before. You should not be putting humans right next to a black hole. So I think he would have chose Edmund if he did not know about the whole love story.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really would have chose Edmund's. And then the entire movie would have been different again. But it goes back to that paradox. If he didn't choose man, he would have never went to the 4D sphere. Humans would have died. So it's kind of like a whole story on fate.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite character?
I liked Little Murphy a lot.
Yeah.
I thought she was funky, and I thought that you never really get to see strong children characters, especially girls, but just children in general. Usually they're filler, or they're meant to
be a certain role. Just
be a certain role, uphold the main character, or even be like kind of like the fodder. Like, you get killed, like in The Last of Us, not The Last of Us. One of the other ones where a video game where a child dies, so the dad goes back. It is The Last of Us.
Yeah,
and he finds another kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then his new kid is kind of like a main character because of that kid component. It wasn't like that in this movie. She was a kid. She grows up. She becomes a hero, which isn't normal. I don't think I've ever seen another, minus like Stranger Things, where you get those smaller kids that end up being the heroes later on. So I liked that. And then I also think that goes with the whole, this isn't a love story, but it still is. Because I don't think Dr. Brand and Cooper were like in a traditional I'm in love. She was in love with Edmund.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed her hand through space. But I mean, I feel like that was more like a trauma bond situation. They just went through experiences no other human has or will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they were like in love. And at the end, she was like, go find Brand. I think that's just to be like, hey, tell her.
I think
it all worked out.
Yeah, I didn't think it was like a love thing. I thought it was more of just like a save her, see if the planet's habitable and go there type of thing.
Like, complete the mission is what I got from it. But I feel like you could interpret it either way. But it's really refreshing to see a big male character and a big female character in a movie and then it be not a love story. Like, that was really cool. And he also had his ex-wife, and the decisions in the beginning of the movie, I think, set that up, too.
I liked their grandfather a lot.
Yeah, he was no nonsense, and as soon as Cooper left, he was just like, okay, you're leaving me here to raise these two kids in the apocalypse, or, like, the end of the world, at least. Because I don't know if it's, like, one, I don't know the definition of an apocalypse, but it definitely was something. With the blight, that was crazy, them being with the corn.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Nebraska and Iowa, and also some parts of the southern parts of the United States. So, as a kid, I never saw farmland. We had, like, county and, like, beaches. But the farmland in the movie seemed pretty, you know, up to snuff. So that was kind of cool. Because sometimes when you see farms in big Hollywood films, it's obvious, like, they're not farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just, like caricatures of farmers with, like, overalls and big hats. So that was kind of cool.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the movie?
I think the little details get lost the first time around, but on the topic of corn, part of the movie's blight is corn was the last crop. And every single time you see them eat or drink, it's corn.
Mm-hmm.
And that they never, like, said that. But I was like, that's a cool detail. God, I had one more. Now I just can't remember it. I wondered if, because they're like NASA, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who they are. Did NASA, like, take care of Cooper's kids? Because I know that Murphy ended up going to school there.
Worked for them. But what about, what was the other kid's name? Timothy's.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
And then I remember they named a kid after.
Because
the
first baby died.
Yeah. He was Cooper Jr., I think.
Yeah, there was that scene where after they come out of the Miller's world,
mm-hmm.
where you talked about it, you briefly went over Cooper finally seeing like what he's missed out on, and that was so quick. I don't think people realized that it was his daughter until later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that people forgot that which name was what, because he kind of mentions Lois. I met Lois. We just had a baby. I think her name was Jesse. Grandpa's dead. Jesse's dead. And I think a lot of people probably thought it was his wife until she shows up later on in the movie.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh man, it's a baby.
Yeah, buried the baby next to Grandpa.
Yeah, so, and that's part of the reason why he doesn't want to leave. Because he's like, my whole family's here, Dad's not coming back. Because of that little bit. And the Dust Bowl situation, the actual documentary that they were showing, there were clips from actual Dust Bowl documentaries from PBS, I think. So that was
cool.
Really interesting. And then they just added the actor later on, like the actress to be
Murph.
Well, grown up Murph. Yeah. So I think that they added that on top of it and kind of formed them together. But it was just an interesting opening to the movie that I don't think a lot of directors could have pulled off. It kind of would have looked cheesy, I think, if it wasn't Christopher Nolan. And I don't have any stakes in Christopher Nolan. You know, I'm just going to give props to you.
I like a lot of his movies. All right, cool. Well, I think that's all good. Thank you, anyone who's listening. I appreciate it. That is us from the Urban Vibe. And if you haven't seen the movie, we kind of just told you everything that happens. So don't listen to this if you haven't seen it.
We'll wait for the second movie to come out.
Yeah.
And then you won't have to watch the 3-hour first one if you listen to the 20-minute podcast.
Right.
Because we got you covered.
Again, thank you. And goodbyes from the Urban Vibe.